Welcome to Sustainable Voices, produced by Thomas Walsh. Imagine you're at a banquet and see that you're the first in line. How do you know how much you can take? Imagine that this banquet includes not just food and water, but also all of the materials that you require for shelter, clothing, healthcare, and education. It all looks and smells so good, and you are hungry. Just what will you heap on your plate? How much is enough to leave for your neighbours behind you in the line? Now, extend this cornucopia to today's global economy with its millions of products and where the necessities for life come from all around the world. 6.5 billion people, shoulder to shoulder, form a line that encircles the globe over 180 times. With plates in hand, they too wait behind you, hearty appetites in place. And behind them are kookaburras, kangaroos, butterflies and snakes, untold millions of species of animal, millions upon billions of unique beings. And stretching out even further behind them are the ghosts of the soon-to-be-born children, cubs and larvae. A harmonious feast just might be possible, but it requires a bit of restraint, or shall we say, a tamed appetite. As our plate becomes a shopping cart, becomes a ute, filling our home, attic and basement, and perhaps even a rented storage unit with nature transformed into things. Just how much is enough? How much is fair? How much can you take without depriving those that follow you of the same rich global banquet? How much can you take sustainably? So what is sustainability? The answer will depend on the person you are asking. Are they rich, poor, educated, employed, unemployed? Are they single? Do they have a family? Do they live in the city? Do they live on a farm? What is their nationality? What country are they living in? Just what are their aspirations? What do their children want to be when they grow up? Sustainability is a concept that has always been difficult to define, and as a consequence, it has often been misappropriated and had its meaning abused. Just what do we mean by the word sustainability? What does it mean to live in a sustainable manner? Why are we even concerned about it in the first place? According to the World Wildlife Fund's Living Planet Report, Australians have an average ecological footprint of 7.7 hectares per person. So just what is an ecological footprint? Well, it's a measure of the amount of nature's resources an individual, community, or a country consumes in a given year in order to meet its material and service needs. It is calculated using information on rates of consumption, land productivity, and the rate at which ecosystems can recycle wastes in order to determine the area of biologically productive land and water required to produce the resources consumed and to assimilate the wastes produced by society using current prevailing technology. Because people use resources from all over the world and affect faraway places with their pollution, footprint is the sum of these areas, wherever they are on the planet, and is expressed in global hectares. For example, to produce a car, you need to mine a certain amount of land for the raw materials and energy. You need to burn fossil fuels to melt and mold the metal ore. You need oil from which to derive the plastic components of the vehicle, and land on which to situate the factory, water for use during the manufacturing process, and finally, a certain amount of intact ecosystem is required to recycle the waste products and absorb the greenhouse gases released during the car's manufacture, its use by its final owner, and then those produced by its eventual disposal. It should be said that the ecological footprinting calculation uses conservative estimates for consumption and yields. As such, the result tends to underestimate human demand on nature. It's also worth noting the ecological footprint does not include materials for which the biosphere has no significant assimilation capacity, such as for plutonium and other radioactive elements associated with nuclear energy production, PCBs, a hormone disruptor that is so widespread and persistent that it has been detected in mother's milk, and chlorofluorocarbons that deplete atmospheric ozone are just three examples. Also, heavy metals such as mercury, which do not break down, but instead bioaccumulate. That is, they increase in concentration as it moves up the food chain until we're no longer able to safely eat certain types of fish. As these materials do not break down and instead persist in the environment, these materials cannot be used in a sustainable manner. So an ecological footprint of 7.7 hectares for the average Australian is the amount of productive land we each personally require to meet all of our material needs. Yet according to the Living Planet report, there are only 1.8 hectares of productive land available per person worldwide. This means that if everyone in the world led the same lifestyle as the average Australian, we would need a total of 4.3 planet Earths in order to satisfy everyone's needs. Australia has the fourth highest ecological footprint behind the US, which requires 9.5 hectares of land per person. Compare this to an individual in China, who only uses 1.5 hectares. Whilst in India, the average is even lower, at 0.8 hectares per person. And these are all figures taken from the 2004 Living Planet Report, freely available online at the World Wildlife Fund's website. Sometime during the mid-1980s, the moment occurred when humanity claimed the entire sustainable yield of the Earth of 1.8 hectares per person for our own use. Since then, the global average footprint has risen to 2.2 hectares per person. This indicates that humanity is now utilizing our natural resources at a rate that is 20% faster than they can be replenished. We're now drawing down on the Earth's natural capital at the expense of future generations in a manner from which the Earth may not recover. The consequences of this overshoot, according to the Millennium Ecosystem Report, commissioned by the United Nations in 2001, is that a full two-thirds of the planet's ecosystems are now in decline. At least 20% of world fishing stocks are depleted. Almost an entire quarter of the Earth's surface has now been converted to cropland. Global water tables are dropping, and the threat of climate change is beginning to make itself felt. Essentially, this report concludes that human activity is putting such a strain on the planet that the ability of ecosystems to meet future demand can no longer be taken for granted. In many ways, the report suggests, we are living on borrowed time. In Australia, the effects of ecological overshoot manifest as the degradation of the lands and waters upon which our agricultural society depends. 2.5 million hectares are currently affected by dryland salinity, with an additional 5.7 million hectares now at risk of developing the problem. The clearance of native vegetation driven by agriculture and the urban sprawl continues, and this process has been recognised as the single most significant threat to Australia's biodiversity, as it causes the loss and fragmentation of habitat. Our river ecosystems are also under threat, as we use over 24,000 gigalitres of water a year nationally, most of which comes from our rivers, of which 26% are now over-extracted. Irrigation accounts for 75% of water used in Australia. With 1,500 million hectares of irrigated land in the Murray-Darling Basin alone, yet it has been estimated that only about 20% of Australia's total runoff can be sustainably diverted to human uses. And there are also the uncertain consequences of climate change looming just over the horizon, threatening, among other things, to increase the frequency of droughts and extreme weather events, to contribute to the spread of diseases and heat stress in humans and livestock. Climate change threatens to exact a huge cost to Australian society. For example, the cost of damage caused by the 1999 Sydney hailstorm, an extreme weather event, was an estimated $1.6 billion. Not the cheeriest of news now, is it? But now that we know what the problem is, we can now start talking about what to do about it and just what sustainability is. One of the most broadly accepted definitions of sustainability was developed in 1987. When the World Commission on Environment and Development, the Brundtland Commission, agreed on a definition of sustainable development. They defined it as being development that meets the needs of the present generation without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own. But of course, just what are our needs? What will the next generation need? This definition suggests that sustainability is about recognizing the next generation's right to the same freedoms and choices that we now enjoy. Alternatively, it's possible to describe sustainability in terms of our ecological footprint. That it is the point when our ecological footprint is no larger, and ideally smaller, than the amount of bioproductive land available. This definition requires us to look at the questions, just how much can we take? How many of us should there be? How much of the Earth's productivity should we utilize? Just what would be an appropriate standard of living? Because politics, our values, and our understanding of the Earth are always changing and developing, it is unlikely that there will ever be a single comprehensive